I'm standing with Christian Heilmann from Mozilla, and he has in his hand a device, a mobile phone-shaped device, or cell phone if you're listening in other countries, but it has a new kind of operating system on it. Tell me more.
Well, it's not that new. We've been working on it for a few months, but this is a open web device called with Ubuntu Gecko as its operating system. Ubuntu Gecko basically means we thought it's a good idea that people have web-enabled devices, but they're expensive. So in countries like Brazil, India, those places, they can't afford an iPhone, they can't afford an Android, and cheap Androids are sometimes really bad in terms of like how fast they run. So we thought the web is good. Firefox is a good browser that actually can do things fast and not with many resources. So we took the Linux core of Android and we put Firefox on top of that, and that is a new system now for the phone. It works like any other phone. You can do calls, you can do text messages, and you can run applications, and you can surf the web on it. It just means that it's much, much leaner and meaner than all the other systems out there because it just uses technology that is open and available. And that means also for providers that they, if they want to build a phone, they can make it much, much cheaper because there's no licensing or anything involved because all of it is open source.
When you say much more open, is it much more open to attacks, for example?
No, not at all. It's as safe as the web browser is, which, of course, a lot of people say there's a lot of problems there, but that's mostly because you write directly into a file system. So in this case, you've got every application is its own entity, and they cannot talk to each other. And the main system is also blocked off from these systems. So you cannot just viruses of it will be almost impossible. I say almost impossible, I should say totally impossible, but as a security person and somebody who is a coder, I never say that something is totally impossible because it's code. People can make mistakes and security problems happen. So in my case here, what I really love about it is that we're partnering with people like Telefonica, and they want to actually bring this to the Brazilian market by next year. And that would bring us millions and millions of users using the web on a mobile device, making the web the platform for applications, rather than having the problem of having iOS applications there, Android applications there, Windows Phone applications there. We should not have to write an application in like five different platforms. We should just be able to put it on the web. And with this device, we would bring these applications onto a mobile device just by putting them on the web.
What does this mean for the business models around app development?
The business models are the same. There will be a market that actually you can upload your app to and you can sell things to. The main thing that Telefonica is doing with us, and that's why Telefonica was an interesting partner, is that they do a billing directly to your mobile phone bill. So a lot of people in Brazil don't have a credit card or don't want to pay things online. So they're happy, though, that when they download something, it shows up on their monthly bill with their mobile phone. So that's something that's a new way of monetizing web applications that hasn't been done before.
What does this mean for battery life, which is one of the biggest issues when it comes to any mobile device?
It's much, much longer than on devices that are much more hungry in terms of the resources because there's not much happening there. It's the browser running on top of a few drivers, whereas the middleware is what actually gave you a lot of battery drain. The other thing is, of course, that with Firefox being hardware enabled in a lot of the animation cases and in a lot of like WebGL and these kind of things, 3D in spaces, that games could actually be built that are much less resource hungry than what they are right now.
So take a chance, give me a statistic on how much longer potentially your phone might last.
I have no clue comparing it. I know for a fact now that my one-year-old Android phone used to last for at least 2 days. Nowadays, half an hour on Angry Birds Space, it's gone. So these things are so timely, you cannot quite say it. And as these phones are right now test phones, we haven't tested them with real people, what they do with it. It also depends what you do. Most of the battery life on mobile phones goes away with being on all the time, trying to find connectivity, trying to connect to satellites and find your location. So depending on what people do, the battery life can last from like 2 hours to 16 hours.
Mm. So I see you've got a Samsung device here. What do you hope that Ubuntu Gecko is going to sit on, or what will it be allowed to sit on? Anything and everything?
Well, if anything and everything allows us to use their drivers in the open core, then totally yes. Right now we have the Samsung Galaxy S2 as the test devices that we're using. It's also running on a Nexus S. And the device that Telefonica is building from us is an own device that Telefonica is building together with Qualcomm. And it will be a different device. You can actually download BootuGecko now. You can put it on your phone. If you've got a Nexus S2 or if you've got a Nexus S, a Galaxy S2 or a Nexus S, you can actually flash it on your own phone to try it out. But this is for geeks. In the end, all we wanted to do is partner with somebody that brings web phones into the hands of people, and we provide you with the software for it. Because we're a browser company, we're a web company, and we wanted to bring the web to phones.
Where can people go to find out more?
Just go to wikimozilla.org/b2g. Look for BootuGecko in Google or your search engine of choice, and you will find it. There's lots of stuff on our hacks blog that we have at the moment. And yeah, GitHub, if you're a developer, just look for B2G, and all the discussion happens there.
Thanks very much, Christian. We're here, obviously, at Bletchley Park. What are your thoughts on over the air in Bletchley Park?
It's incredible. I mean, I haven't been at Over the Air yet. It was quite a cute way to give my talk about web apps and native apps here, and seeing that lots of mobile developers are around. And Bletchley Park is just full of history. I just did the tour here, and what humbled me most is that we all think we're incredibly clever and get really paid well for doing software right now. But what people build then with their own hands and like relays and cables, we have no clue what's going on there. It was wonderfully humbling. And of course, there were lots of jokes about me being German and being here, but it was quite interesting to see that a lot of knowledge that was accumulated back then was immediately killed and gone away. I mean, it seems to be a tradition in England to innovate and then basically from top down being said like, no, we forget about this now, don't do it anymore. England could have been the foremost company in computing, country in computing, but for somehow, some reason, I guess it's natural understatement, it didn't work out.
Also making everything secret almost as soon as it was discovered. And it was only recent so much of this has come to light, you know, 70s and 80s and 90s.
Well, I mean, the whole market of deciphering and encryption is by definition secret. And a lot of the stuff that has been done and broken here was then used by Russians after the war, and then the Cold War started. They just didn't want to have England to have a machine that decrypt what you've been doing here. So there's, I mean, we get annoyed when we don't talk to each other, but in this market, when you talk to somebody, that might be the end of you. So I can understand some of those things. But it shows me, as somebody who works in open source and works in the open completely, that by giving your information out and giving your knowledge out and sharing it, you're actually preserving it for the future. Otherwise, it could always be canned and deleted and gone, and it's much easier to actually share your information, because then somebody else can keep up your work without you having to do it. When I talk to people here about how these computers work, they're like, oh, we interview 90-year-old people right now and try to find them because nothing was ever written down. And that's just dangerous, I think. And we should, it's again humbling to see how much information and innovation can get completely forgotten if you make the mistake of not translating and telling other people about it.
Thanks again.
You're welcome.